Welcome back to Search the Scriptures. It's great to be able to be back together again today and open up God's Word and dig a little bit deeper into those rich teachings and truths that God has communicated to us through His written Word. How blessed we are to be able to do this each day here in Search the Scriptures, but even beyond that, how blessed we are to have God's Word. I mean, just in its completed form, the Bible. You know, there are many places in the world where they don't have that privilege, that blessing. There are a number of places where if they could have a copy of the Bible, they would cherish it so much. Kind of as a story that I heard or read a number of years ago, where somebody in one of those countries did not have a Bible, and he was talking with an American, and the American was saying, well, oh yes, we can have a Bible. We can have a Bible anytime we want it. Bibles are readily available. And of course, in this country, you can get one for free if you can't afford to buy one. And so this person from this other country said, oh, you must read it all the time. He was so impressed. And he so wanted to have a copy of God's Word that he just imagined that if he had one, he would just read it continually. Well, of course, you know what probably went through the mind of the American who was talking to him. Most people in our country don't read the Bible very much, in spite of the fact that they have it so readily available to them. In fact, in most households, you probably will find at least one copy, if not three or four or five copies of God's Word. And yet, most of the time, they sit there on a shelf, or in a bookcase, or on a table someplace, and they do not get used. Every once in a while, somebody will come along and move it to dust around it, perhaps, and maybe wipe the dust off the cover of it. But as far as opening it up and reading it in a diligent way, just does not happen very often for a whole lot of people in this country. Well, I'm thankful that you're here on the program with us today, and that we're here with you so that together we can study God's Word. I'm thankful that you have tuned in and want to learn more from God's Word. And that's largely what this program is about. Search the Scriptures. We do exactly that. We search the Scriptures of God's Word. And in so doing, we try to teach what God's Word says in a rather diligent fashion. We dig deep, we look at it in detail, but we try to explain it in a way that is easy to understand and that makes sense for your daily life. We want to help you come to God. We want to help you grow in your faith. Since faith comes by hearing the Word of God, Romans 10 and verse 17, we try to go right to the source to do that, and that is we try to teach you God's Word. As you learn His Word more fully, more deeply, more correctly, then your faith in God should be growing, and you should come to the point where you say to yourself, I want to come to God. I want to walk with God. I want to be with God, and I want to be with Him for all of eternity. And so you make up your mind then to come to Him through Jesus Christ, His Son and your Lord and Savior. As you repent of your sins, that past life where you were living in a more worldly lifestyle, you repent of that, you come to Jesus in faith, and you're ready to obey Him by being baptized into Him for the remission of your sins. And as you come up out of that watery grave that we call baptism, having been buried with Him therein, as we're told in the Scriptures, you're reborn. You're a new person spiritually, a new creation, as the Apostle Paul puts it in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. So you have literally been given, from a spiritual perspective, a new start in life and a new lease on life. And you have a new hope, and that is eternal life with God and Christ and the Holy Spirit in heaven. And you have a new direction in your life, and that is to walk with God toward heaven. We do want to help you get there. At the end of the program today, we'll tell you how you can contact us. So have a pencil or a pen and a piece of paper ready, and we'll give you the information by which you can contact us, and then do exactly that. Contact us and ask for the free Bible study that we always offer. It is free. We keep emphasizing that. We'll even take care of the postage. We don't want you to send us anything. We want to send that to you. It's taken right from the scriptures. It's easy to follow. And again, it is very scripture-based. You can also receive a copy of today's program on CD. And again, it is free, and we'll take care of the postage. So have that pencil or pen and piece of paper ready. Jot down that information at the end of the program, and then contact us. These materials can change your life for eternity. Now we're going to go on with our study right now, asking the question, what is your attitude? Now we've talked quite a bit about attitude. We all have one. Some people might say, I haven't got an attitude. Well, probably in that expression, they're expressing their attitude. We all have an attitude, and our attitude is a product of our mindset. And as our mindset produces an attitude, then that attitude can lead to actions and behaviors on our part. Now, some people have a really positive attitude. Others have a really negative attitude. Some people are fairly passive in their attitude, and others are more aggressive, and some are even violent. Well, we need to check our attitude. We need to learn what is good in the way of an attitude, because ultimately our attitude, as it leads to behavior, can end up causing us a great deal of trouble and problems. And in many cases, people, because of a really bad attitude, end up ruining their lives and even end up in jail, sometimes repeatedly. We don't want that. None of us do. And we don't want that for you. So what's your attitude? Well, you might say, well, what's my attitude about what? Well, just in general, to begin with, what is your attitude? What kind of attitude is it? Are you positive? Are you negative? Are you somewhere in between? Are you discerning? Or do you just go along with the flow or with the crowd? What is your attitude? But particularly, what is your attitude about God? Do you believe in God? Do you believe in God with all of your heart, as Jesus says, needs to happen, as we have recorded for us in Matthew chapter 22, with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul? Do you believe in God with all of your being? And does your life demonstrate that you believe in God with all of your heart, to the point that you love him with all of your heart and all of your mind and all of your soul, which is what Jesus emphasizes in that particular passage? And what about your attitude toward Christ? Do you believe in him to be God's Son and your Lord and Savior? And most people would answer yes to both of these initial questions, but then the follow-up would be, okay, well, what is your attitude about following God? What is your attitude about following Christ as your Savior? Do you believe that that's essential for your life? It is essential, but what's your attitude about that? And then what about your attitude toward the church? Now, many people will say that they believe in God, they believe in Christ. They'll even go so far as to say, I love God, I love Jesus, but they don't have much time for the church. They don't think that's important. Well, we've talked about that, haven't we? God sent Jesus to this earth to establish the church. And the church is identified in different texts of Scripture as the body of Christ. And we've also seen in in Acts chapter 2 and verse 47 that those who truly come to salvation are added by Jesus himself to the church, his body. So is the church important? Only if you want to go to heaven. Only if you want to walk with God. Only if you want to be a true servant of Jesus and a true Christian. Because again, he adds those who come to salvation to his church. So let's use a little bit of logical reasoning there. If Jesus adds those who come to salvation to his church, according to Acts 2 and verse 47, then there are no saved people outside of the church of Jesus. And here's where we really have tried to zoom in, even more so in this particular study, on attitude. you think the church is full of hypocrites? Many people say that. And therefore they say, I don't need to go to church because it's full of hypocrites. You think there are no hypocrites at work? Do you go to work every day? Do you think there are no hypocrites there? And perhaps many, many more percentage-wise than there are in that church that you look so disdainfully down upon because you think there are a few hypocrites there. Or what about in your family? Are there any hypocrites in your family? Now, maybe not in your immediate family, your spouse or your children or your parents, but what about the extended family? Aunts, uncles, grandparents, cousins, nieces, nephews, so on. Any hypocrites there? Some degree or another, maybe. In fact, some might say probably. Now, some of you would probably have to answer resoundingly, yes, there are hypocrites in my family. Do you stop having any association with them because they're hypocrites? Do you just pull away from your family because they're hypocrites in your family? And what about in the world around you? You think there are any hypocrites out there? Far more than there are in the church. But you still live in that world, don't you? You still live in that neighborhood. You still go to that job, that workplace. And you're still in your family. Well, you see the inconsistency of the reasoning there. What's your attitude about the church? See, what we've tried to emphasize in this study is that God sent his Son, Jesus Christ, into this world to establish the church. And just as God is perfect, and his law is perfect, and his Son is perfect, and his Son became the perfect Savior, his Son also brought the perfect gospel message of salvation, and he came to establish and did establish a perfect church in purpose and design. But he established that perfect church for an imperfect people. And that, my friend, is you and I. We are imperfect. And everybody in this world is imperfect in and of ourselves. Only through Christ can we be made perfect and counted righteous by God. So Jesus established a perfect church in divine purpose and design. But no congregation of the Lord's church is perfect. For each one is made up of imperfect human beings. You and I, if you are part of the Lord's church, are part of this reality. Now, think about some examples here. Let's turn to Romans chapter 7. If you're where, you can open up your Bible and read along with us. If not, just follow along listening. Romans chapter 7, verse 15. The Apostle Paul writes, "For what I am doing, I do not understand. For what I will to do, that I do not practice. But what I hate, that I do." Well, Paul is saying, I don't understand why I act this way sometimes. What I want to do, I end up not doing. And what I don't want to do, in fact, what I hate, I end up doing. In verse 17, he goes on and says, "But now it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me." And then in verse 19, he says, "For the good that I will to do," or in other words, that I want to do, "I do not do. But the evil that I will not to do," I don't want to do evil, "that I practice," he says. Well, why? Because the devil's always tugging at us to sin, to turn away from God. He's always throwing temptations at us. And attitude can be one of those temptations. Then verses 24 and 25, Paul says, "O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death?" Now, if the text ended there, it would be a forlorn text. But the next verse gives us the hope. He goes on and says, "I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin." Now, think about what all Paul has said here. I don't do the things that I know that I need to do and that I want to do. And I end up doing the things that I don't want to do because I know they're sin. Well, sin is present sin has a great allure, and the devil is very skillful in painting sin through various temptations to look good and attractive. And Paul finally says, "O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death?" Because you see, the wages of sin is death. Well, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. And so there is an answer. There is hope. There is forgiveness. Now, the point in reading that particular text is we're all like that. We make mistakes. In fact, we keep making mistakes. Even though we know what is right to do, we still end up not doing it. And even though we know what is wrong, we end up doing it at times. We keep stubbing our toe spiritually, so to speak. But Paul says, yeah, I still have hope. And Paul would come back, get back on the right track, get himself back in the right frame of mind. And Paul was an apostle, and he still wrote that particular text about how he would stumble over and over again. Well, Paul, though he were an apostle of Jesus Christ, divinely appointed, he was still a human being, like you and me. And so we still do things that later, sometimes immediately after, we think, why did I do that? Or we end up not doing things that we know we should do, and we say, you know, why did I not take care of that? Why did I not do that? Why did I mess up there? See, we're imperfect people. The Lord came to establish a perfect church in design and purpose for an imperfect people because we need forgiveness. We need redemption. We need to be in Christ, and that's what the church is about. In fact, we could think of the church as a spiritual hospital for sick souls. Would you want to be a part of some of the congregations that are listed in the scriptures as the church of our Lord? Think about what we read about some of these congregations. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 10 and 11, now this is a congregation of the Lord's church. And here in verses 10 and 11, the Apostle Paul writes to them with these words. He says, "Now I plead with you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. For it has been declared to me, concerning you, my brethren, by those of Chloe's household, that there are contentions or quarrels among you." Well, Paul was pointing to division within the congregation at Corinth. In fact, he goes on in the third chapter, and he addresses it again, beginning with verse 1. "And I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ. I fed you with milk and not with solid food, for until now you are not able to receive it. And even now you are still not able, for you are still carnal," or that is, worldly, or of the world. "For where there are envy, strife, and divisions among you, are you not carnal, and behaving like mere men? For when one says, 'I am of Paul,' and another, 'I am of Apollos,'" indicating division, "are you not carnal, or of the world?" Now that was a congregation of the Lord's church. He goes on in chapter 5 in verse 1, and he says, "It is actually reported that there is sexual immorality among you, and such sexual immorality as is not even named among the Gentiles or unbelievers, that a man has his father's wife." Wow, now you talk about fornication, sexual immorality. Apparently a young man was having an affair with his stepmother, his father's wife. And Paul says that's not even done among the unbelievers. They don't even talk about such immorality. But you have it right there in the congregation. In chapter 11, beginning with verse 17, Paul talks about problems they had in partaking of the Lord's Supper properly. He says, "Now in giving these instructions, I do not praise you, since you come together not for the better, but for the worse. For first of all, when you come together as a church, I hear that there are divisions among you, and in part I believe it. For there must also be factions among you, that those who are approved may be recognized among you. Therefore, when you come together in one place, it is not to eat the Lord's Supper. He's rebuking them in this. That's what it should be for. For in eating, each one takes his own supper ahead of others, and one is hungry, and another is drunk. What? Do you not have houses to eat and drink in? Or do you despise the church of God and shame those who have nothing? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I do not praise you. Well, again, division. When you read chapters 12 through 14 in 1 Corinthians, you find that they had problems with their use of and their applications of the miraculous gifts that God bestowed upon them in that first century through the Holy Spirit. Again, not having the right attitudes and displaying improper attitudes. But yet we go back to chapter 1 and we look at verses 2 through 4. To the church of God, which is at Corinth, the church of God, which is at Corinth, to those who are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all who in every place call in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God always concerning you, Paul says, for the grace of God which was given to you by Christ Jesus. Oh my, and we could have pointed out some other problems or at least other texts within the 1 Corinthians letter that Paul addressed as to their problems, and some of it was displayed in attitudes. But all of that that he writes and corrects them on and rebukes them for, he still refers to them as the church of the Lord, and he thanks God for them. Now you talk about a congregation that had a real problem with attitude, had a real problem with hypocrisy, the church at Corinth. And yet Paul still refers to them as the church of the Lord, and he thanks God for them. Now he doesn't for 1 minute suggest that they can go on acting the way they were acting. He rebukes them repeatedly through that letter. But he recognizes, and we should recognize, that they were made up of humanity, and human beings make mistakes. Would you want to be a part of that congregation? It's addressed as a church of our Lord right there in God's Word. And we're going to stop and park here. The point being, you think you don't need the church? You think there are hypocrites there? Sure, there are hypocrites all over this world and in other associations that you experience. Check your attitude. In just a moment, we'll tell you how to contact us. Write down that information, and then let us hear from you right away.